Good to see you all this morning. If you have a Bible, you can open it and turn to Matthew chapter 23. If you notice down at back at the sound booth, there is a new Bible rack there. So if you need a Bible, Lee will get you one. And Lee and Doug Hicks and Nick Hicks, they made this Bible rack for us. Part of the reason why was when we were stacking the chairs, all the Bibles were always falling out, breaking the bindings on them. So the new norm is going to be if you need a Bible, grab one on your way in and return it on your way back, and that would be great. So grab a Bible, open up to Matthew chapter 23. Before I open in prayer, I would like to make a kind of a business announcement. Some of you might be aware, Ryan's hours increased here. Ryan has been our administrative assistant for about 4 years, and basically this year, we brought his hours up about 10 hours a week, and the reason why is we want to give him more pastoral type duties because he went to Bible college to study to be a pastor. So he's running the Mill Pond group, which is a fifth and sixth grade group. He's also running Kids Club. And basically what we wanted to do is we wanted to help him be more equipped to do ministry here at our church. But, you know, as we look at, you know, our direction and purpose of our church right now, we are not able to bring anyone else on full time. But what that will do is that will help Pastor Steve to focus more on the youth ministry proper, the 7th through 12th grade. He's going to focus a little bit more on some young adult type events and also administration type work for Sunday school. So if you grab the annual budget this year and you're like, man, Ryan's getting the big bucks now, that's why, okay? So let me pray and then we'll get right into God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you love us and serve us, Lord. But we do come to you this morning with a heavy heart, seeing everything that's going on in our country and this world, Lord, the evil and the violence, Lord. And we're looking to you for hope, Lord. We're looking to you for help. So we pray that you would continue to be faithful and continue to bless and continue to work us through all these issues, Lord. And we know that you will eventually one day put an end to these things. So we just pray, Lord, that day is soon. We're just thankful, Lord, that we have the freedom here to come and worship you, to come and hear your word. So I pray, Lord, that now as we get into your words, that it helps us to know you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most of you realize we've been in this series about miserable people, and basically what we're doing is we're going through the habits of what make people miserable or the habits that miserable people actually do. So today we're going to talk about the things that we say, the hurtful things that we say. We can all agree that words are very powerful. Wouldn't you agree with that? Now, when you really think about this, and I've thought about this and prayed about this a lot this week, but really go back to the beginning. How did God create? How did God create? He used words. He spoke things into existence. So words that you and I have can be very powerful as well. The words that you and I have can, or say, can create friendships. They can create amazing people by, you know, speaking good things into them, our children, the people around us, giving them confidence by the words that we say. Words can heal. Words can create love. Words can create peace. Words can create great memories. But you know what? If you're a miserable person, your words can be used to tear down. Your words can lose friendships. Your words can repel possible friendships. Your words can damage relationships. Your words can spread hate. Your words can spread hurt, and they can cause terrible feelings between you and other people. Your words can create terrible memories. So when we think about this, Proverbs 18:21 says it this way. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." See, the way we use our words can either bear good fruit or bear rotten fruit. And we also know that our words reflect what's going in our heart. Jesus says it this way in Matthew 15:18. He says, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart." So whatever is in your heart, the words of your mouth will actually overflow what's in your heart. So today, here's what we're going to do. We're going to learn that miserable people say hurtful things. They say words that are critical, gossip, slander, underhanded, and blatantly hurtful. So we're going to start with critical words. Now, there's a lot of critical people out in this world. Maybe you're one of those people. Some years ago, I preached a whole message about how to deal with critical people. But for critical people, nothing is good enough. Nothing works. Nothing, they're not happy with anything. They'll be critical of everything, whether you agree with them or not. Whether you love something or not, they'll be critical of that. They'll criticize something for just their sake of showing, like, hey, I'm not in approval of that. I don't love that. I don't like that. Or maybe I do like it, but I'm still going to criticize it because I don't have it. The best example of critical people in the scriptures is found in Matthew 23, verses 1 through 3. Now, this is the only verse that I'm going to tell you to turn to today. I have a lot of other verses, but for sake of time, I'm just going to quote those. So if you take notes, you can just write down the address to them. But in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees and the scribes. The Pharisees and the scribes were people that were in charge. They were religious leaders. So basically what happened with the Pharisees and the scribes, they were constantly challenging Jesus, constantly critical of Jesus's ministry. And Jesus actually said something to them. And here's what he said. It says, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciple, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do observe whatever they tell you, but do not do the works they do. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. So what Jesus was saying is like, okay, here's these Pharisees and scribes, they're the religious leaders, they sit in Moses' seat. They're the people that are supposed to teach people the law of Moses and God's law. So he's saying, okay, if they teach you what Moses taught you, listen and do. But don't follow in their footsteps. Don't do what they do. You can do what they say, but don't do what they do because they're hypocrites. They don't practice what they preach. See, here's what's happening with the Pharisees, and here's how the misery of criticism kind of works in our life, or one way it could work in our life. You think you're right and other people are wrong. You think you're right and other people are wrong, but it doesn't stop there. In order for other people to notice that you're right, you have to point out everyone that is wrong. You're looking for accolades. You're looking for people to look at you and say, wow, that person's doing the right thing, or that person believes the right thing, or that person says the right thing, or that person's made the right life choices. So what you do is you find other people that haven't done that, criticize them in hopes that other people will look and give you accolades. That's what the Pharisees were doing. Look how good we are. Do you need a point of comparison? I'll point to all these people to give you a point of comparison. So the religious leaders wanted people to think that they were spiritual, and in order to do that, they pointed the finger and criticized others. What do you want people to think of you? And in order to get them to think that way of you, what are you pointing out in other people so that others will look on and say, yeah, you know what? You are right, and that person is wrong. Another level of criticism comes in, which is, I think, is probably a little bit more common, is this. It's based upon that message. Remember I preached about envy? Miserable people are envious. Sometimes we want something that someone else has. We desire to have what they have, and we desire to be in their position. We desire to be like them or experience what they have. So one of the ways that we deal with that envy is we're miserable, right? We're miserable, but now what we do is we criticize maybe the stage of life or what they've achieved or what they've accomplished. So we're envious of them, but then we're critical, and we're kind of saying, well, I wouldn't have done it that way. And you'll hear people make comments, like maybe someone gets a bigger house and someone else says, well, that's going to be a lot to clean. Okay, you've heard that before, right? Okay, someone gets a brand new car. Well, you better watch out at ShopRite because people are going to bang and ding that, right? That always happens in the first 1,000 miles, just to let you know, okay? Someone goes on vacation, you look, I wouldn't even want to go there. Oh, really? I want to go on vacation. We call that sour grapes, don't we? We call that sour grapes. But the way that people deal with the criticism is the way that people deal with their misery is to criticize what other people have. They might desire to have that, or we might desire to have that. The author Shannon Alder said it this way: often those that criticize others reveal what he himself lacks. You get that? Often when we criticize others, we're revealing what we lack. We wish we were in that seat, but we're not. So the way that we deal with it instead of saying, you know what, I'm so happy for you. I'm so glad for you. I wish that happened to me. It didn't. Or I wish I was there, but I'm not. We say, I wouldn't even want that, or I don't like that, or you did it the wrong way, or whatever it is. We point the finger and we criticize. Is that you? Do you criticize other people because you lack something? Do you criticize other people because you lack something? But you know what? I realize this. Some of us might criticize, but others of us might sit in the seat that people are criticizing us. So how do we deal with that? How do you deal with the critics? How do you deal with the people that are pointing the finger and criticizing you and not ever saying anything nice and encouraging to you? Well, Ecclesiastes 7, 21 through 22 says this. I love this verse. It says, do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others. You know what this is giving us counsel? This is counsel of saying this. Hey, you know what? Don't take to heart what everybody else says. You're living for an audience of one, and his name is Jesus. So don't take to heart what every person says. But then the counsel goes a little further, and God is saying to us, you know what? Sometimes that's your heart. How do you feel when you're critical of other people? When you're kind of hating on them and looking at what they have done? How do you feel? You know where that's coming from. So realize this, that person that's criticizing you, they need prayer. You know, they need some help. They need prayer. They need some wisdom. They need some guidance in their life, because you've been in that seat too. Don't be all self-righteous. Don't be all critical of them because they're critical of you. They need some help. So don't take heed to everything people say. There's going to be critics out there. There's going to be critical people, and they're going to say hurtful, critical things to you. So hurtful words can come in the form of criticism, but they can also come in the form of gossip and slander. Now, gossip is this: a casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details that are either not confirmed as being true, or sometimes they're true, but we have no business talking about. Slander, on the other hand, is just plain and simple false information. Saying something that's false about something to defame their character, someone to defame their character. There's so much that I could say about this one point, but for sake of time, I'm only going to highlight a few things. Gossip and slander really does reveal that we are miserable. Deep down, if you are the type of person that is continuing to gossip and slander other people, it's really showing that you are miserable. So if you're miserable, you might desire to feel important, right? So you're miserable, maybe you're like, you know what? I don't feel very important. So you want to feel important. So what you do to make yourself feel better is find out things about other people and talk about those things. Guess what information I have? Guess what I know about? And you know what? People genuinely, a lot of times, want to listen, okay? They want to hear gossip. You realize this, that gossip in our culture, if you were to say to just somebody at work that has no biblical exposure or anything, and you would say something like, gossip is wrong or gossip is a sin, they'd be like, really? Because even some TV shows and talk shows are based upon gossip, okay? They sit and they tell you things about people that you don't even know, that all of a sudden, for some reason, you want to hear it. Well, I'll tell you why you want to hear it. Proverbs 18:8 says this: the words of a gossip are like delicious morsels. They go down to the inner parts of the body. People want to hear that. Ooh, it's delicious. Ooh, what's the dirt? You know what? If you have a friend that starts the conversation with what's the dirt, there's a problem, okay? There is a problem. See, so many of us desire to be important, to dish out the dirt, to tell other people what's going on in other people's lives. Many of us desire to hear gossip because we want to hear about the misery of others. We're miserable, so misery loves company, right? We want to hear about the misery of others. The author Alice Roosevelt Longworth said it this way: if you don't have anything nice to say, come sit next to me. You thought I was going to say something different, did you? But that's the truth, isn't it? So many people are like, oh, you, come sit here. Tell me. Please tell me. I'm miserable. I need to know that other people are miserable too. That's gossip and slander. If you are miserable, you may desire to ruin the relationships of other people through gossip and slander. Proverbs 16:28 says it this way: a gossip separates close friends. Have you seen that before? Somebody separates you and a friend, puts a rift between you and a friend. You guys remember back in high school, back in junior high, those were tough days, but that still continues to happen in adult relationships. There's people out there that try to mess up relationships. There's people out there that try to mess up relationships. If you're miserable and you gossip, the counsel from God is for people to stay away from you. You like that? Okay. People to stay away from you. That's God's counsel. Listen to Proverbs 20, verse 19. He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. God's counsel is for people to stay away from you if you are living in that type of sin. Think about this. There's people in your life that you might have to stay away from because they continue on in that sin. You might have to say, you know what? I can't be around this person. They constantly, constantly are talking about other people. This might be difficult for some of you because that's what you do. You're constantly talking about people. Listen to this quote I found. It's from the historian, the English historian, Henry Thomas Buckle. He said this: great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. Think about that. What's your conversation like? Is it about ideas and about how to do and how to create and how to make? Or is it, you know, maybe about events, what happened? Or is it always about people? Let me appeal to you. I think you want to have a great mind, don't you? I think that God is pleased with that type of thinking, don't you? Hurtful words not only come in the form of criticism, gossip and slander, they also can be underhanded comments. Now, this was a tough one to find scriptures for, okay? We know that the Pharisees were always doing underhanded things around Jesus, but we also know that underhanded comments are real, right? Underhanded comments are real. These are the comments intended to hurt you, but they are said in such a way that you cannot accuse the person of trying to hurt you. And then you leave and you're scratching your head and you're like, man, that hurt. And I don't even know how to confront it. I don't even know how to talk about it. They said it in such a weird way, in such a coded way, that you have to be a detective to figure this out. You know people like that? Have you mastered the art of that? Do you know social media has taken this to a next level? Do you realize that? Social media has taken this to the next level. And here's kind of how it would work. For example, maybe you have a friend that's been hurting. You didn't get the time to get around to. You didn't talk to him. You didn't do what was right in the situation. They were hurting, and you didn't do anything. You dropped the ball. You were a bad friend. You know, you're honest with yourself, you were a bad friend. Then you log on Facebook or any other social media, and that friend posts a picture of another friend, and the caption is, "This is what a good friend looks like. This is what a good friend looks like. They're there for you when you're hurting." You're like, ouch, that hurt. Because I know I haven't been a good friend. Deep down inside, you know you haven't been a good friend. But you're thinking, what should I do here? Should I say something? And this person has posted this, or maybe you're the poster. Maybe you're the one who's like, I'm going to get them. And here's how I'm going to get them. They weren't a good friend. This person was a good friend. I'm going to show them that they should have been a good friend by my underhanded comment. It was something intentional to hurt them. See, here is the problem, though. Here is the problem. Some of you might think, that's a good idea. I'm going to use that one. It's not, okay? It's not a good idea. It's a terrible idea, and here's why. The biblical prescription for something like this would be going and confronting. Matthew 18, somebody hurts you? You know, maybe you've had that friend that wasn't there for you. Confront him. Hey, listen, you know, my time in need, I wanted you there. I expected you there, and you weren't there. It's so hurtful to me. You go and confront them. And you know what happens? When we confront like that, usually it opens up a conversation and it brings healing. But if we don't confront and say we post something on social media or say it to someone else, so-and-so wasn't there for me, they hurt me, or this is what a true friend looks like, here they are and it's not you. Here's what happens. It puts the defenses up of the other person. It never brings healing. Then the other person starts to become angry with them. Oh, you said that to that person, or you posted that. Now I'm upset with you. Now it escalates the problem into something that is just, it shouldn't be. Because it was underhanded. You didn't have enough courage to actually go to them. You're miserable in the situation. You're miserable, and you didn't have enough courage to say, you know what? The right way to do things is to make the comment to them, to talk with them, and not be underhanded about it. So underhanded comments can be hurtful. But we all agree that there's some comments that are made to us. We don't have to be detectives, right? This is the last group, and these are just blatantly hurtful comments. We all know these words, right? People that just say things that are just downright hurtful. These are the people that are so miserable in life, they can't even control their misery. They just spew venom all the time. And maybe that's you. Maybe that's you. I sure hope it's not you. But maybe you're dealing with someone who is like that. And Proverbs 12:18 says this, "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts." They're the type of people that it's like every time I'm with them, I feel like I'm being jabbed with a sword. They're just a miserable person, and they say miserable and mean things. And it's very hurtful to me. It's not helpful to me at all. So we realize that this is kind of the way things happen. If we're miserable in our lives, it will come out in our words. But you know what? For those of us that struggle with this, if you struggle with this, there is wise counsel in the scriptures. There is wise counsel in the scriptures for the way that we use our words. And like I said before, I'm going to tell you a lot of Bible verses, so if you take notes, you can jot these down. But here is wise counsel from the scriptures about how we should use our words. The first is this. In our words, we can protect ourselves. Proverbs 13:3 says this, "Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." Now, anytime you're having a conversation, anytime you go to talk with someone, you have to think, are the phrases that I say, are the things that I say, are these going to put me in a problem situation? Am I going to be protected by what I've said, or am I going to be kind of left out there? Is this going to cause me a problem? Is this going to condemn me? Think about what you say. Your words can either protect you, protect your integrity, protect the people around you, protect your relationships, or you could come to ruin. Think about that. Our words, we have to think about protecting ourselves. The second is this, give yourself hope. Listen to Proverbs 29:20. It says this, "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." Give yourself hope. There's more hope for the fool than the person that's hasty with their words. You know, if you talk too much, eventually you're going to be hasty in your words. You're going to say something that now in the situation that may have some hope, you may have damaged. You may have damaged the situation because you kept on going. You kept on saying things. A lot of people do this when they're angry. Okay, they say things when they're angry that should not be said. And then at the end of the day, they say, you know, I'm sorry for that. I was very angry. But we all know this. The words are out there, right? In some senses, the damage might be done. We haven't given hope in the situation, but we've actually taken hope away from the situation. The next, this is straightforward. Titus chapter 3, verse 2. Don't speak evil about others. Speak evil of no one. When you're in conversations with people, what are you saying? Are you saying things to tear other people down? Are you saying evil things about other people? I mean, this seems like basic, right? But we obviously know that the scriptures talk so much about what our words are and what we should say. We realize this. Am I speaking evil about anyone? You know, we're in this political season right now, and, you know, I don't talk about politics from up here. But one thing I will say is this. When you listen to speeches of candidates, whatever office it is the whole speech about how the other candidate is so terrible? Or is the whole speech about how we can rise above, how we can do better, how we can get past whatever situation, how situations can be healed? Or is it about evil? Do you know that people become very popular saying mean things about other people? Should we be known by that as Christians? Should we be known by that? Should we be known as the person that comes along that's always saying mean things about other people? I don't think we should. I think we should be the exact opposite. When people see us coming, they should say things like, that person only has good to say. That person only has nice to say. This is a struggle because some of us are very careless with the way that we speak. But then that goes into the next, which is in Ephesians 4:29. It says this, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. We need to build others up with our words. Whatever we say, we should be building the person up that we're saying it to, but it should build the people around us up, that it may give grace to those who hear. You know, those of you with kids, I want to appeal to you. Little ears are listening. You know that? They're listening. You might think they're just sitting in the corner watching TV or on their iPod or reading a book. You might think something's coming out of those headphones, but maybe they just hit pause so they can hear you talk. And it's not giving them grace. It's creating miserable people. Do you know how I know this happens? I did youth ministry for 15 years, okay? I did youth ministry, and kids will tell you what goes on in their houses. They'll tell you what their parents are saying. They'll tell you what their parents are saying about other people. Or they'll echo what their parents have said, and you're like, you're 12 or 13 or 14. Where did you get that idea? I know where you got that idea. You got that idea because your parents had unrestrained conversation around you. They had conversation around you that wasn't building others up, but it was tearing others down. If you have a critical, miserable kid, here's the thing. You have to look and say, was I that way? Is that what I modeled for them? You know, everything that we say should build other people up. People should look forward to being in your company, not because they heard the dirt, but they heard something that helped them, that encouraged them, that built them up. Which brings us to Proverbs 12:18, says this, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Do you want your words to hurt, or do you want your words to heal? It's so true. Think about this. You can bring healing in relationships because of the words that you say. You can bring healing to somebody's broken heart because of the things that you have to encourage them with and say to them. And then finally, we have to remember, God will judge. Matthew 12:36-37, it says this, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Let me break that down for you for just a minute. By your words you will be condemned. Do you realize this? The things that we say can be sinful things. You know, some people will say, well, I'm a good person. I don't do this or I don't do that. But really, if we're all honest, a lot of the sin in our life comes from the things that we choose to say. And those sinful things separate us from God, condemn us to an eternity without him. By those sinful things, we're separated. But the truth of the matter is Jesus was willing to come and die on the cross for our sins and rise again 3 days later to prove that he was God. And it says, by your words, you're justified. You know why it says that? In Romans 10:9, some of you know this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With your mouth is how you confess Jesus as Lord, telling him, I trust you and that you've died for me. I believe what you've done. See, you know what? We as Christians, we don't want to live as miserable people that say hurtful things. We want to live as people that say things that bring people to the light of Jesus Christ, that bring them to the saving message. We want to say things that are going to glorify God in everything that he has done on our behalf. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day, Lord. I know that the topic of our words and the things that we say and the nature of our conversation is such a heavy topic, Lord. We realize that we've been remiss and we've been error and in the things that we've said. And we pray, Lord, that we wouldn't continue down those roads, that we would look and realize that there is something miserable about us. But when we realize that, we go to you to help us through that rather than criticizing others, rather than gossiping about others and slandering them, rather than making underhanded comments or blatantly just saying things that are just downright mean and nasty. But I pray, Lord, that we would use our words to bring you glory, to build others up, to bring healing. I'm just thankful again for this day. And I pray, Lord, that we would be a church that does that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.